Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be presenting our third and final part in a three-part series that we have titled What the Bible Says About Sexual Perversion and Sodomy. In our last session, we went through and dealt with the sexual perversion that was described in Leviticus chapter 18, where we had the rule governing that particular sin. And then we also looked at Leviticus chapter 20, which gave the penalty for the sins that were identified in Leviticus 18. And many of those penalties involved the death penalty itself. And then in that session, we also dealt with the wickedness and sin out of Judges chapter 19, where there was over 60,000 men that were killed as a result of a group of sodomites murdering a girl and a man's concubine, which he then cut up into 12 pieces and sent them into the different tribes of Israel. And that sin brought great judgment upon the nation of Israel. Now, this week we're going to start out, or in this particular session, we'll start out dealing with, we're going to go to 1 Kings 14, and it is the first place in the recorded history of the kings of Israel where God dealt with a national issue of sodomy. So, a question for you. Do you remember all the way back to the sordid events at the end of Genesis 19 when we discussed those, where Lot conceived sons of his own daughters following the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Some of the fruit of that wickedness shows up here in 1 Kings chapter 14. Now we're going to go and read 1 Kings chapter 14 verses 23 through 26. And note in these verses that Rehoboam's mother was an Ammonitist. Verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitist. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves, and on every hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. That's 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 21 through 26. Now, we have talked much about this issue in this particular session, where sodomy literally consumes the very soul of any nation that allows it to take over, as it has here in America. Because of the idolatry and the sodomy connected to it, God brought judgment upon the nation of Judah. King Shishak of Egypt invaded Judah and sacked Jerusalem and took away all the gold and treasures from both the king's house and the house of the Lord. We see that in verses 25 and 26. And all that was brought about because of God's judgment upon sodomy. Next up, the next three incidents dealing with sodomy in the nation of Judah take on somewhat of a positive note in that they show that God rewards obedience to his commandments to remove sodomy out of the land. These were some of the best times in the history of the nation of Judah. They involved the good kings Asa, Jehoshaphat, and Josiah. The total of their reigns covers 97 years. 1 Kings 15 verse 12 makes this statement, "And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." That again is 1 Kings 15 verse 12. This was a statement about King Asa. There was a period of peace for the first 10 years of the reign of Asa, followed by a great military victory over Zerah the Ethiopian. This was one of the greatest military campaigns in the history of the world. Asa's army was outnumbered by almost 2-1, and God gave him one of the greatest military victories in the history of the world. Zerah's army that came against Asa was 1 million strong. We see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 9. Asa's army numbered 580,000. That is stated in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 8. Asa was a king of Judah. Asa reigned for 41 years. The following scriptures cover the reign of Asa, and that would be 1 Kings chapter 15 and 16, 2 Chronicles chapters 15 and 16. Now, the following statement was made about Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 46, and it reads as follows, "And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." We know from verse 46 above that Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa. See also 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 24. Jehoshaphat reigned 25 years. According to 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 43, 2 Chronicles 17 verses 3 and 4, and 2 Chronicles 20 verse 32, Jehoshaphat was a godly king that did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Another significant statement was that in 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 46, where it stated that he took the Sodomites out of the land. He also sent priests, Levites, and teachers throughout Judah, teaching and proclaiming the word of God. There was a national revival taking place for folks. According to 2 Chronicles 17, verses 14 through 18, he fielded an army of 1,160,000 men. That was a huge army for its day, and it's a big one even for today. God put Jehoshaphat above most of the rest of the kings of Israel and Judah. He ranked among the top six of the greatest kings ever in Israel and Judah. This group included David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Asa his father, Jehoshaphat, and Josiah. All this happened because he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and took away the Sodomites out of the land. To read the rest of the story of Jehoshaphat's reign, read 1 Kings chapter 22, 2 Chronicles 17, 18, 19, and 20. The following statement was made about Josiah, the king of Judah, in 2 Kings 23, verse 7. "And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the groves." So Josiah reigned for 31 years in Judah, perhaps the greatest short-term revival in the history of Israel and Judah took place during the reign of Josiah. We know from the scriptures that the single greatest Passover in the history of Israel and Judah took place during the reign of Josiah. We see that documented in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 22. Now Josiah tore down the houses of the Sodomites, put the workers with familiar spirits and wizards out of the land, and destroyed the images, idols, and abominations that were found in Judah. Josiah also purged and rebuilt the house of the Lord. Folks, it is significant that this great revival only took place after he dealt with the idolatry in the land and tore down the houses of the Sodomites that were right next door to the house of the Lord. Another amazing thing in the events surrounding the reign of Josiah is that the prophecy given 369 years before in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, was fulfilled to the letter in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 17 and 18. Now, this particular thing involving Josiah is the last mention of the Sodomites specifically in the Old Testament, though their actions were dealt with many times in the prophets and in the books of the kings. You look at 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and also in 1 and 2 Chronicles. And there were a number of things dealt with there, especially when we were talking about the abominations of the heathen. The clear statement against homosexuality, or what the Bible calls sodomy in the New Testament, is from Romans chapter 1. It is very clear in the text that homosexuality and what the Bible calls sodomy end in being turned over to a reprobate mind. Note what the Holy Ghost said in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's reread verse 32. This is where they settled in at. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. In this passage from Romans chapter 1, God is very specific in his condemnation of unnatural sexual acts that we call sodomy. From the progression in Romans chapter 1, you can see that men and women fall into these unnatural sexual acts because they have rejected God. We see that in verses 18 through 22. Notice in verse 21 that their hearts became darkened. After their hearts were darkened, they became fools and started worshiping themselves, or corruptible man. And my, isn't that a picture of today with all of the self-esteem and the selfies that we take of ourselves and stuff? We are, in effect, worshiping ourselves. Now, in verse 24, the progression into sodomy is completed when they dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In verse 25, they started worshiping and serving their unnatural sexual desires until God gives them up to their vile affections. And that what he gives them up to is sodomy in verse 26. Again, in verse 26, the women are shown to be having sexual relationships with other women. Men are shown to be having sexual relationships with men in verse 27. Note that it was a four-stage progression into the sodomite lifestyle. And that, number one, the men left or rejected God. Number two, the men left the natural use of the woman. Number three, men burned in their lust for other men. Number four, men were lying with men sexually. Note that the word natural is used three different times in this passage, and the word nature is used once. It is not natural that men would have sex with men and women would have sex with women. God himself said in verse 26 that same-sex relationships are against nature. Verse 27 also says that God is just in turning them over to a reprobate mind in verse 28. It says that they receive the recompense of their error, which is meat. The word meat means proper and right. In verse 28, the phrase to do those things that are not convenient also refers to the unnatural acts of sexual perversion. Now, what does the term reprobate mind mean? A short definition would be that it is a seared conscience that is unable to respond to God. Paul uses the term reprobate several times. It is once again associated with the term without natural affection in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. In Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the term reprobate is associated with an abomination and a defiled or seared mind and conscience. When a man or a woman gets turned over to a reprobate mind, they cannot be saved because they have rejected God. Because they have rejected God, God has rejected them. The term reprobate is used in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30, in relation to those that God has rejected. Notice that when an individual gets turned over to a reprobate mind, that the progression into sin gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We see that in verses 29 through 31 of Romans chapter 1. The word implacable in verse 31 means that an individual that has been turned over to a reprobate mind cannot be persuaded that what they are doing is wrong. The dictionary definition of implacable is incapable of being appeased or changed. In a sense, it summarizes a reprobate mind. We see in verse 31 that the Sodomites are without natural affection and unmerciful. And we'll have more on that when we deal with the consequences of sodomy and sexual perversion in our next presentation. These folks, like we just said, were unmerciful. That is why Christians and Jews have suffered many hate crimes at the hands of Sodomites. As a group, they are the most violent within the American population. That is statistically proven, and we'll document that in our next presentation. Many of the Nazis were Sodomites, folks. Let me repeat that. Many of the Nazis were Sodomites. As a group, the Sodomites are the most violent people in the world. It is because they are unmerciful and without natural affection. Romans chapter 1, verse 32 shows that the end of the Sodomite lifestyle is the judgment of God and death. Paul once again deals with sexual perversion in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, where he says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I want to remind you again that the Bible looks upon any sex outside of a marriage between a biological man and a biological woman, one man and one woman, is seen by the Bible as being a perversion of God's gift of sex. In verse 9 above, we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, four sexual sins are identified. Two of these sins, men being effeminate and men being abusers of themselves with other men, are talking about sodomy, folks. That is a wicked and an abominable thing before God. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." That is Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, inordinate affection is defined as depraved and vile passion. It is once again a reference to sexual perversion. Inordinate affection is identified as one of those sins that will bring the judgment of God on those who are guilty of them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 state this, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Condemnation of acts of sexual perversion are a constant theme of the Holy Ghost-inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. Here in one of the final books that he wrote, he once again condemns those that defile themselves with mankind. The first mention of sodomy in the New Testament comes from the lips of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke 17, the Lord Jesus Christ makes a connection between the way it will be when he returns and the way it was in the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and in the days of Lot in Genesis chapter 19. The most significant statement in Scripture concerning sodomy and its connection to destruction is made by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke, where we see the following in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 29. Verse 26, "And as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Again, that is Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 29. In that passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ connects the destruction of the world by the flood with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah by fire and brimstone. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because it was totally given over to sodomy. Reread Genesis chapter 19, and you'll see that documented there. We know from the comparison made by the Lord Jesus Christ that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for the same reasons that the world was destroyed by water in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7. Sodomy was the cause of both events of destruction. From Genesis chapter 6, we read this, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." That's Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and verses 11 and 12. Folks, how do we corrupt the flesh? We do it by having perverted sex outside the scriptural bounds of a marriage between one biological man and one biological woman. The Lord Jesus Christ said that when he returned, it would be as it was in the days of Noah and Lot. In other words, the world will be totally consumed with perverted sex and sodomy. The day of his return must be close, since sexual perversion is an indicator of it. Both Peter and Jude made the same connection with sodomy and the coming judgment and destruction. Both mention the destruction of the flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Both 2 Peter and Jude are written in the context of a rebuke to an unbelieving and apostate church. These two books are very clear that not only will the end times church be apostate, but that it will be consumed with unrestrained sexual activity and sexual perversions. Let's go and read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Then we'll read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." What about that, folks? Next up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that them was, being overflowed with water, perished. That is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Now we're going to go to the book of Jude, and we're going to read verses 4 through 8 and verses 14 through 19. And what we're going to see is you're going to see a description of America and the church in America, the way as vile as it has become. Starting in verse 4 of Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. Listen to that now. Going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. That's Jude chapter 4 verses 4 through 8. Next we're going to read Jude verses 14 through 19. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That's Jude verses 14 through 19. Now both Jude and Peter were dealing with and prophesying of the apostasy, heresies, mockers and scoffers, and the sexual perversion in the end times church. According to Jude, the end times church will be full of unbelieving Sodomite church members. Jude describes these church members as filthy dreamers that defile the flesh in verse 8. After referring to the Sodomites of the flood and of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude said this, These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That's verse 19 repeated. Today, we have many denominations that were specifically organized for, I said many, today we have denominations that were specifically organized for Sodomites. The Metropolitan Community Church is one such denomination. We have denominations such as the Roman Catholics, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, otherwise known as the ELCA, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, and some Baptist churches that are ordaining male and female sodomites to the ministry. Most of those are also performing same-sex marriages where the partners and the church enter into a marriage covenant with the devil for the destruction of their souls. Any church that would conduct a same-sex marriage ceremony is a part of the bride of Satan. She is described in Revelation chapter 17. She is the mother of harlots. The building in which any same-sex marriage ceremony takes place is a synagogue of Satan. The reason for the destruction of the flood and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah were unbelief, mockery, and sexual perversion. The reason for the destruction of the world in our age will be unbelief, mockery, mistreatment of Israel, persecution of the Lord's true church, and sexual perversion. The toleration of sodomy has always been associated with abominable pagan religions. Where sodomy and child molestation exists, there is a false religion present. And an ungodly religion, might I say that also. Anytime a child is molested, the offender should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, where it can be proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. If it involves the rape or sodomy of a child, the offending party should be executed by the state. I do not care if it is an apostate Baptist such as Bob Gray or a child molesting sodomite Roman Catholic priest or nun. With the death penalty, there are no repeat offenders with more dead children left behind to be buried. The Bible ends the book of Revelation with several passages that deal with the judgment of all sin, including sexual perversion and sodomy. Revelation 21:8, Revelation 21:27, Revelation 22:11, and Revelation 22:15 deal specifically with those that are excluded from heaven. If you are excluded from heaven, you are included in hell, folks. You must be born again. As we get near the closing of this particular topic, I want to warn you again that we are in no way advocating an act of violence or the murder of any person that is a sodomite or any other sexual pervert that whatever name you might call them. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ done away with that penalty of death for those who are involved in that when he dealt with the woman at the well in the New Testament. But let's close out and look at the final four passages in your Bible that deal with sexual perversion, all in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. But the fearful, this is Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now remember that all sexual acts outside of a God-ordained marriage between a man and a woman are considered to be an abomination before God. Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Next up, and finally, we have Revelation 22, verse 15. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever liveth or loveth and maketh a lie. That again is Revelation 22, verse 15. And so, the Bible concludes in these four verses in Revelation with yet another warning to those who would involve themselves with sexual perversion. I don't know if you've noticed it, but we have practically taken a walk through the entire Bible and dealt with just about every passage that deals with sexual perversion in your Bible. It has been a detailed series, and has also been a somewhat of a painful series to both to prepare and to present, because it in doing so you have to deal with the spirit that inspires all of these perverted sexual acts. And when you start looking at the secular side of it and what's going on with within our society and what's being promoted in the society, and you look at the damage that it is doing to our children, to our families, and really to everybody, if you take a look at that, we ought to it ought to wise us up so that we would start dealing with these particular sins as God has commanded that we deal with them. Now, in our final presentation that we're going to do dealing with this subject, we're going to deal in our next presentation with a document that we have written, and we call that the consequences of sexual perversion and sodomy. And believe me, there's some facts and figures in that particular document that will shock you. I would encourage you to join us in that next session. Thank you for joining us today.